Canva.
6 years ago, Nick and I were designing the pitch deck for our media company.
Yeah, we didn't want it to look like some amateur college PowerPoint. We wanted to impress investors. So we made our first pitch deck on Canva.
Canva is the easy-to-use online design platform for presentations, social media posts, physical flyers, anything you can design.
Canva turns you into a digital Da Vinci, delighting your audience with design.
They got these color palettes that you can use. It makes your work look beautiful.
We used presentation templates that were available for free and then customized them for our company.
And guess what? That summer, we sold that company, Market Snacks, thanks to the deck we built with Canva.
Oh, and funny thing, we still use Canva today for all our design projects.
So Yetis, start designing today at canva.com.
Canva, designed for work.
This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling.
Protect her.
That's from the opening chapter of The Last Thing He Told Me.
Or is it protect her?
It's protect her.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's a thrilling mystery my wife and I listened to on Audible.
It actually got adapted into a TV show, but it was way more riveting as an audiobook, wasn't it, man?
It's about a tech executive who disappears when his company gets indicted on accounting fraud.
But he disappeared to protect her. And honestly, we shouldn't say anymore. Let's stop there.
Listen to the whole audiobook on Audible while driving in the car on road trips.
And you should too. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500.
That's audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500. Airbnb.
It's wedding season.
Yes, it is. What's going on, baby?
Alex and I just got invited to a beautiful venue for the wedding of a childhood buddy of mine.
Lovely. Can't wait to hear about
it. We got babysitters. We're all set to go.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay, second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Monday, May 20th, and actually, good timing for this one, right?
T-B-O-Y, the best one yet.
By far.
Rough week for markets last week. Let's talk about the three big tariff things that happened.
Can you hit me with this?
First, ending of tariffs with Mexico and Canada. That's a good thing.
Then you had the delaying of tariffs on European and Japanese cars.
And then you had a serious increase with China, which is looking very much Cold War-ish at this point.
Add that all up and stocks dipped last week. Doesn't matter. All weekend long, Jack and I jumped in. We have three wonderful stories for you guys.
Amazon made two huge announcements last week, and let's just say Uber, UPS, and FedEx are all terrified of them.
Basically, a $1 trillion company is launching an air force and a ground army. So yeah, they're pretty concerned.
Be afraid. Yeah, be very afraid. Second story is Away Luggage. You've all seen these at TSA. It raised $100 million. It's worth $1.4 billion now, and it's officially, what is it, Nick?
Our brandicorn of the day.
There you go.
By the way, here's the key. Away isn't about suitcases.
Third and final story is John Deere. The old school tractor company fell 8% because farmers are buying less John Deere.
We're talking like $500 million less of John Deere tractors. That's a serious with a B. Now, we've got one big thing before we jump into all that, right, Jack?
Spotify just announced its car thing.
Best name ever for a new tech product. Why aren't more people doing this?
It's called a car thing.
Yes.
Capital C, capital T, car thing.
This is a voice-controlled virtual assistant for cars.
Yeah, it's like a Siri, but for Spotify, and it works in your car.
Basically, you stick this in your car when you're commuting, and it's almost like you have a friend with you right there.
Yeah, you have a buddy who can handle the dial. You know, the person sitting in shotgun is always responsible for the dial.
Huge, huge responsibility there. Now you can just say like, hey, Spotify, this is Jack. I've had a bad day. Please play Adele live at Royal Albert Hall.
And then Nick is like, hey, this is Nick. Please play Snacks Daily because this is what I do.
And then the Spotify car thing is like, why are you introducing yourself to me? I'll just play the music. Okay, I'll play Adele.
Couple details about this product. It plugs into your old school cigarette lighter thing / electric charger.
Right, from the 90s.
And it's only being tested currently by people that Spotify select. So it's going to like DM you and say, do you want to try out this beta version car music thing.
So this is like a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory situation. Someone's getting a gold ticket here that's going to upgrade their commuting game.
I've already tweeted Spotify and asked to be one of those people because I've got to try this out.
Now, old school snackers know we kind of like predicted this thing, what, like 5, 6, 8, 10 months ago?
Last summer, one of our first Market Snacks Daily podcasts ever, we connected the dots Sherlock's home style predicted that Spotify was making a car thing just like this.
Now, they had leaked some things about it, but we noticed they had like a job posting for someone working on hardware. Put it all together in the back end. Boom, car thing shows up on our doors like a year later.
Snackers knew about it first. Now the whole world knows about it.
So before we hit the rest of our three stories, listen to these keywords.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we got to get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
For our first story, Amazon just made two big moves to dominate the two keys of shipping.
The first one is Deliveroo. Great name. It's actually an Uber Eats competitor that delivers food from restaurant to your door based in UK and Europe. And guess what? Amazon just led a big investment.
And then number two is that it broke ground on its Air Force base, aka Camp Jeff.
Yeah. Not officially called Camp Jeff.
True.
But that's our suggestion.
Feel free to run with it. That disclosure, Jack. Now, let's jump into number one first, okay? Number one is that everyone wants a piece of Deliveroo, the UK delivery company, and Amazon just got involved seriously.
Yeah. It just led the most recent investment round, which was like $600 million worth of new cash for that company. And guess what? Uber stock fell on Friday, probably because Amazon is now ipso facto a competitor of it.
Ipso facto, witro racto, right up there. It's getting involved with, essentially, it's countering Uber Eats. And then this is what Jack and I thought was fascinating about Deliveroo, is that it has a key differentiator, a physical store.
It has a physical restaurant in Hong Kong currently. It's planning its second one in Singapore. And we looked at pictures of these places. It's like a fast casual restaurant.
Totally. This is like if Seamless suddenly opened up a fast casual restaurant in the Flatiron District that was like the Chipotle for falafels.
Now, we don't totally get it because Deliveroo is a food delivery company, but this is just proof that the company is ambitious. This isn't just another Seamless or just another Grubhub or DoorDash. They have like aspirations to be brick and mortar, kind of like Amazon does.
Very true. And they've got $1.5 billion in investment so far. Now, there is a little bit of irony here. You want to lay this one down, Jack?
Amazon launched Amazon restaurants a little while ago, and they shut it down last year. So they tried to do something like Deliveroo. They failed. So now they're investing in the company that's actually doing what they wanted to do.
Boom. Okay, so that's what Amazon's doing with like small local delivery with Deliveroo in Europe. But what about number two?
Number two, Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon, grabbed the giant golden scissors and did a groundbreaking ceremony in Cincinnati, Ohio, for its worldwide cargo hub.
Now, this thing is big. It's like an Air Force base on steroids with the capacity to carry like 100 planes as if they're going to war with e-commerce land.
Now, I said Cincinnati, Ohio, but it's really Hebron, Kentucky.
City.
Which is right on the other side of the Ohio River.
Now. Very true. Key distinction there. Now, Jack, we've talked about this a lot personally, but Hebron, Kentucky has like a place in your heart, right?
Every day I come home from work, I unlock the door and I check to see, is there something waiting for me? And guess what?
We all do.
Half the time, I got a package from Amazon. And if you look at the little return label, it says Hebron, Kentucky.
Beautiful.
That is one of Amazon's biggest distribution hubs.
And it shows you how like a little town like Hebron, Kentucky is actually probably an intimate part of everyone's life who's listening to this podcast. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Amazon who are like getting obsessed with shipping and delivery?
It's finally happening.
Boom.
Amazon is taking over its own shipping.
Now, we just covered the two keys of shipping here that Amazon's getting intimately involved in. Number one, we're talking short distance, aka last mile delivery. And then number two, that like long haul, long distance, fancy airplane delivery shipping.
There you go. Delivery plus shipping.
Beautiful.
Equals package from distribution center to your face.
Oh my God. And simple.
Amazon is owning it now. And this is FedEx and UPS and Uber Eats' worst fear.
Now, Jack and I, over the last couple of years, we dive into these analyst reports and we've noticed a theme that when it comes to shipping, FedEx and UPS, they benefit from e-commerce, aka Amazon, but there was always a big but in every one of those reports.
Yeah, Amazon has fed them tons of delivery business over the years.
Cardboard.
But if Amazon ever decides to do its own shipping, that's a huge concern for these shipping companies.
Much cardboard. Now, what's coming next? We're thinking like a few, maybe some HR moves, Jack.
If I'm the top logistics person at UPS, I am pumped about this news.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to get the premium version of LinkedIn because recruiters are going to hit me up and they're going to say, I love what you've done at UPS.
Great resume.
Whatever UPS is paying you, Amazon will pay you double.
We want to endorse you for shipping skills.
Snackers, full disclosure, this is Jack. I own Amazon shares.
For our second story, Away Luggage just raised $100 million and hit a hefty $1.4 billion with a B valuation.
Pro tip, if you're getting an Away suitcase, get the bigger carry-on. You don't want the regular one. You want the bigger one.
We're talking like this is the candy version of luggage. This is the kind of luggage where you would take this out of the overhead compartment and eat off of it.
The inside of the suitcase I own has like 1 million thread count, like beautiful linens.
If you've been on a flight from JFK to San Francisco, by the way, there is like a TSA regulation that requires travelers under the age of 36 to own one of these things. They like pull you out of line. They're like, sir, you look like you're 28 years old. How come you don't have an Away luggage? You're like, why are you?
It's highly suspicious that you don't have Away luggage. Please come to the back room with us.
Now, the co-founders are Steph Curry, legendary Brown Bear, and Jen Rubio, who are both former Warby Parker alumni. They used to work at Warby.
And at Warby Parker is where they learned how to cut out the middleman and deliver physical goods direct to consumer through an awesome website and some physical stores.
And some aggressive social media, right?
Right. 1,000 influencers are all over Instagram.
Now, they've sold like a hefty number. They've sold 1 million suitcases thus far.
Yeah. And Snackers, open up your Instagram or your Facebook right now. Chances are there is an Away ad waiting in your newsfeed.
Just sitting there. Now, the fundraise this past week that happened had some wild news attached to it, which included something like, let's get this down, okay? So Jen Rubio, one of the co-founders, had been dating Stuart Butterfield. I feel like I'm telling like a high school story here. Stating Stuart Butterfield, who's the CEO and founder of Slack.
And what happened post-fundraising announcement?
Jack, I am so glad you asked. Stuart Butterfield, the Slack co-founder, who's preparing for like their company to go public soon, tweeted at Jen a marriage proposal.
It said, let's make this a double whammy. Will you marry me, Jennifer? Now, I want to know from the ladies out there, is that romantic? I'm not sure.
Well, we both missed that opportunity because we went a slightly different route. Now, here's the key. Away is actually an amazing lesson in long-term thinking.
It had a tough start. It started with two other tech companies, tech/luggage companies,
yeah,
doing
like
the
mix.
Same thing as Away.
So we were talking three luggage startups. The year, it's like 2015, 2016. And what was the theme, Jack, of these startups?
Battery packs in your luggage so you could charge your phone anytime.
Exactly.
That was the appeal.
Now, then something kind of funky happened.
The TSA banned lithium ion batteries on planes because they could like ignite and start a fire.
Yeah, it was kind of an issue. So Away happened to have this long-term thinking baked in that perfectly prepared them. What was the first key?
It was pretty fortuitous, but they had batteries that you could remove from the suitcase. So if you check your suitcase, you can remove the battery and you're good to go.
The second key is that Away's co-founders realized that luggage isn't a technology. Luggage should be a fashion lifestyle choice.
So they called themselves a travel company, not a luggage company. And a quote from the founder, from the beginning, everything is related to making a travel experience better.
Then they launched a magazine called Here, which was all about travel.
This was the seller for me, the 10-year guarantee, because those little swivelly wheels at the bottom of your suitcase, I need a 10-year guarantee because those things break like right away.
Yeah, hate a dongly wheel on that. And then the other key, their fundraise, they have 7 stores already. They're now going to expand to 50 stores all focused on travel beyond just suitcases.
So they're going like Casper here. They're not just online with a website. They're building physical stores.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Away?
We're calling this a new breed of unicorns. They're called Brandicorns.
Exactly. Now, we all have heard of unicorns, which is a private tech company with a over $1 billion valuation. That's the definition.
But there's a bunch of other companies that should be included in the club, even though they're not just tech companies. They're actually physical companies.
And in the last few months, we've seen these physical companies, these brandicorns, become brandicorns because they've reached over $1 billion valuations. Who are we talking about here?
Allbirds, Glossier, Casper.
Rent the Runway. And then Harry's, just a week ago, sold for $1.4 billion.
They've got some tech prowess for sure, but these companies are brand and physical goods first.
For our third and final story, Jack, toss on some striped overalls. John Deere stock just dropped 8%.
And it illustrates every aspect you need to know about the trade war.
Now, as a New York City born and raised kid, I didn't see my first John Deere tractor till like circa like puberty age.
Nick, I pity you because the smell of fresh manure is a wonderful thing. Also, John Deere,
scent.
Not only did he invent the plow, impressive. But he's also a Middlebury College educated man and born in Vermont.
You could kind of tell. You could like sense his presence on campus, Jack, freshman year.
I could. I felt it every single day.
Channel the plow. Now, what actually happened with John Deere stock going on here?
Wall Street whipped out the pitchforks and sold it down 8% because the earnings on Friday of John Deere were just awful.
Now, we've got to lay a little blame here on Mother Nature because a combination of like bad harvests, some Midwest floods, that's going to affect some sales for farmers.
Farmers are the customers of John Deere. And
very
for
true.
Five straight quarters, John Deere has missed its earnings estimates.
And then the CFO laid out this quote in the earnings, which we heard this and we were like, oh, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. He said, further trade progress between the U.S. and China is becoming increasingly important.
There's no silver lining to that quote.
No.
So everything in the trade war that's happening is bad for John Deere.
So you've got farmers on the one hand, because China is buying fewer soybeans with the trade war going on. American farmers are saying, you know what? We're going to have to buy less John Deere products. About how much less more?
We're going to have to pass on 464 million worth of tractors from John Deere last quarter.
That's what John Deere is expecting. And then what's going on with steel?
Steel, the U.S. has tariffs imposed on all foreign steel. And like John Deere's like, what the hell? I build my tractors out of steel. This is going to cost me more.
America runs on Dunkin'. John Deere runs on steel.
And then the third thing is exports.
Yes.
Deere sells tractors abroad, and those sales are falling because of retaliatory tariffs against USA-made stuff.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies who are riding along over John Deere?
Quick reminder to our snackers, actually. There are no winners in the trade war.
Now, the goal, the core goal, the crux, like the basis, the thesis, the hypothesis, everything going into tariffs is one thing. Buy less Chinese goods. That's the goal.
Right. And the only potential winner of this trade war with China is like U.S.-based manufacturing companies that might benefit from us buying less from China. That's like John Deere.
But when you step back and look at John Deere stock, it is off 15% since the trade war really started around January 2018.
Look, China is a huge problem and they're breaking like economic rules, which stinks. But Econ 101, I'm an econ grad from Middlebury College. Tariffs, everybody loses. They're a bad idea.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us?
Sure. Amazon is making big moves to insource, not outsource, insource its own shipping.
Deliveroo, please open up one of your like real physical restaurants in the United States. We want to check this thing out so we can cover it more.
Preferably in San Francisco.
Let's
so
make that
hit
happen.
It up every day.
Make it
second,
happen.
Second, Away has just become a brandicorn, a new word, which means a non-tech unicorn.
This isn't fetch. This thing is going to happen. Brandicorn is happening.
Third and final story, Deere & Co., that's the official name of the John Deere tractor company. It's a reminder that there are no winners in the trade war.
Jack, I'd be confident enough to toss that as a tattoo on my arm. No trade war winners. Now, time for our snack fact of the day, right?
Yeah, hit us up.
Okay, here you go, guys. All right. Philadelphia, the Rome on the mighty Schuylkill River, was the first capital of the United States, but it also had the first U.S. stock exchange.
And there's a third part to the story. Also, this snack fact of the day is brought to you by Jack Kramer. Third part of the story, Philadelphia had the first business school founded in 1881. It's called the Wharton School at University of Pennsylvania. And snackers, if you're wondering why this Snacks Daily was a little more T-boy than the rest,
yep,
it's thanks to Nick Martell, who just graduated from Wharton University with an MBA. Congrats,
Jack,
Nicholas.
I got the regalia gear still hanging up in the closet. I put it away nicely. I'm still figuring out if I screwed up the hat thing with like the flipping of the thing after you walk down with the diploma. It's very confusing on graduation day.
Nick, congrats. This is a big accomplishment.
And awesome work. Thank you to all the incredible Wharton professors and students who have been big fans of snacks from the very beginning.
All right, snackers, thank you for potting with us today. We will be back with you tomorrow, as always.
Jack, I like that plan. Can't wait. The Robinhood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.